Hi, this is RZ from RZ Channel, talking about the NBA offseason. We have a guest here who has a few questions for RZ. Who do we have here?
This is Gwen.
So Gwen, what questions do you have for me?
Well, I think the big question is about LeBron James, obviously. Where do you think LeBron's going to go? Is he going to leave Cleveland or is he not?
LeBron is 99% going to be leaving Cleveland, number one. He, the 1% he might stay in Cleveland just because if his family wants to stay there and because he's from Cleveland. But he's obviously extremely dejected and he is not happy with the cast around him. And it's going to be very, very difficult for him to stay in Cleveland. So he's definitely going to be leaving Cleveland. So your next question is probably going to be, where is he going to go? In my opinion, if he is smart enough, which I think he is extremely shrewd, the way he has moved from Miami then to Cleveland, waiting until they got two or three first-round picks and had a supporting cast. So now if he's going to move, he has to move to a place where he has you have significant support. Right now, if you ask me, the best place for him would be Houston Rockets. They already have a stacked-up team. They have a team which could easily beat the Warriors. At the same time, when you had LeBron to the mix, it's going to be amazing. The reason is LeBron's game is very, very well suited for the Houston Rockets because LeBron, what he does, he drives to the basket and either he finishes it or he dishes it out for a three-pointer. And Houston has a lot of people who can hit threes, and so it really suits his game quite a bit. So the second options would obviously be LA Lakers. They have a very good young staff. And one other advantage with LA Lakers is that Luke Walton is their coach, and he's going to be very amenable because he's dealt with high-level stars like in the Warriors team. So he should be easy to deal with for LeBron. And, and I'm sure the only reason he will probably go to the Lakers is if he's also going to get another star. So most likely it might be PG. Paul George, joining him or things like that. I think it'll still be a good, but the only thing is Houston would be already a ready-made team and it would be a lot easier for him to go and get revenge on the Warriors. So that's my take on, LeBron. Of course, it'll be nice if he could join teams with PG and Russell Westbrook and join the Thunder, as our friend Lil Wayne talked about it. But let's see what happens. But this is my prediction. Rockets first, Lakers second, and then Thunder third. But at the same time, the other question is, why would he not go to the East? Because he's always stayed in the East, and that's one of the reasons he's gone to the finals 8 times in a row. The only teams he could join in the East is, number one, is going to be Boston Celtics. Or number two is going to be 76ers. The Boston Celtics, he cannot. That'll be a blow to his ego, and I don't think he'll be welcomed, especially because you have Kyrie Irving there. So that's out of the question. Is he going to join the 76ers? Does he feel comfortable that he can beat the Celtics just by joining a whole bunch of youngsters in Philly? I cannot doubt it. So I think the East is going to be off. This might be the first time you would see LeBron actually come over to the West side. His goal, in my opinion, after seeing the frustration, his goal is going to be he wants to beat the Warriors badly. So that's my take on that. So what's your next question?
So you think LeBron is most likely going to go to Houston Rockets or the Lakers? If he goes to the Lakers, then Paul George will probably go to the Lakers. So where does that leave the OKC Thunder for next season?
Well, Paul George, if he leaves OKC Thunder, it'll be rebuilding time for Thunder. The good news is the Thunder have Russell Westbrook for the next 4 years. They have Steven Adams for another 3 years. And they have Robertson for another 2 years. This will be your core, which is not a bad core. At the same time, not good enough to beat the Warriors. In my opinion, that would make the Thunder... How can I put it? Forget about championships for about a couple of years. In my opinion, the best thing for the Thunder, if they want to be successful this offseason, if they can somehow get rid of the dead weight, meaning Carmelo Anthony, 28 million, 27.9 to be exact. So unless they buy him out or somehow get rid of him, it's going to be a horrible next year. Nevertheless, the bright side of it is, if you think about it, Carmelo's final year is contract. So he'll really have to play lights out. Otherwise, nobody's going to really want him. If he has another crappy season like he did last season, I mean, he'll have to go for a veteran's minimum of like maybe $1 million a year or something like that. So if you really ask me, I really don't think, Carmelo is going to really make a big deal, but most likely he'll either get bought out by the Thunder, and let's see what happens.
That's all the questions I have.
That's all the questions you have? Okay. Well, thank you very much for your questions, and this is RZ from RZ Channel. Until your next episode, so long, folks. Take care. Have a great night. Hi, this is RZ from RZ Channel. There has been so many things going on in the offseason, but let's first start with PG, Paul George, signing with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I had, and so did many people, think that he would join or sign with the Thunder. But I'll be honest, I didn't expect him to sign a four-year deal with a, you know, even if you said a player option in the last year, but still, four-year contract with the Thunder, that is spectacular. Spectacular for the Thunder. Now, what does it tell you? Number one, it tells you, number one, Paul George is a decent guy. Number two, he has been up front all the way from Indiana Pacers days, where he is, he told the team that he would like to be traded, and he's not going to be with them the following year, as opposed to some other scumbags like Kevin Durant, who just wanted to play the game and let us hang high and dry here. So respect goes out to Paul George. But some other things as well is, you know, why on earth does Paul George decide to stay with the Thunder for 4 years? I mean, he doesn't have to. He's made it clear that he wanted to win the championship. If he feels that he could have a better luck with some other team. So what this tells the Thunder fans, number one, Paul George sincerely feels that him and Russell Westbrook and the current coaching staff and the team can win the NBA title. Now, obviously, if that is not what his thought process is and that's not what his conviction is, I would think he's stupid to sign with the Thunder. But the fact that he did sign for 4 years, it just tells you many things. It talks tales, you know. So it's great news for Thunder fans for many reasons. And I feel that he's confident. And I've always felt that he wanted to sign with the Thunder just because, I mean, who would go and get a rookie like Terrence Ferguson to share a commercial with, you know, him on the national spotlight, you know. I mean, the guy is a good guy. I mean, Paul George just seems like a very genuine guy, you know, and I feel that he fits the Thunder criteria for a good player, the Thunder culture, and he fits in Oklahoma City. So it's absolutely a wonderful time for Thunder fans, and we have a lot of good things to hope for. Yes, he sucked in his last performance, but I honestly, strongly believe that Paul George, as well as Steven Adams, were significantly injured. And that's probably why that they did not perform at a very high level in the playoffs. But anyway, so with regard to Paul George, at least we are happy that he's staying for 4 years, and we look forward to at least a good 3 years of Paul George, Russell, and Steven Adams. More to follow in the RZ podcast. Stay tuned and look out for future episodes. So long for now. Take care until next time. Hi, this is RZ from RZ Channel again. Now let's talk about LeBron James. Well, as I told before, I had suspected that he would go to Lakers. If you recall what I had said earlier, there are only three teams he could go to due to the cap space and financial stipulations. It was going to be either the Lakers, the 76ers, or the Cavaliers. But bottom line is he was not going to stay with the Cavaliers. That was pretty much said and done, just the way the season ended. Then you are left with two choices, the Lakers or the 76ers. In my opinion, 76ers, he would have had a higher chance of winning a title or trying to get to the finals at least because they have a very strong crew. But I also had a feeling that he would only pick the Lakers just because he would like to have control of the team. So you have somebody like Magic Johnson who has the pull and who would probably understand and talk to LeBron in a way he would like to be talked to and also do what he wants in an attempt to get the franchise to what it once used to be, the LA Lakers. The other good thing is Luke Walton is a coach. He's going to be easily run over by LeBron because they were both drafted the same year. LeBron was number one and Luke Walton was number 31 or something like that. So obviously, you know, these are all things which are very suitable for LeBron, and that's probably why he picked LA Lakers. Now, you know, several years ago when he joined Miami Heat, I just really absolutely detested LeBron. As time goes on, he's made several moves which has really made me respect him a lot. I feel coming to the West and joining a team like Lakers, it tells me a couple of things. He wants to prove himself that he can actually do something, as opposed to all along hiding behind the Eastern Conference and coming to the final in a cheap way. Coming to the West, there is no guarantee that he's going to go to the finals. There's actually no guarantee that he might even go to the playoffs, although everybody expects him to go to the playoffs. The West is very, very, very tight. I know a lot of people guarantee that the Lakers will go to the playoffs, but if you really follow what happens in the West, I mean, West is a very tough conference. So, having said that, yes, I agree. There's a very high chance he's going to make it to the playoffs, but there's also a chance that he might not make it to the playoffs. So, I just have gained a lot more respect for LeBron because he's not dumb enough to think that he's going to have an easy way out in the West. At the same time, he could have stayed in the East and still kept his record of going to the ninth straight final. He very well understands that streak is going to probably come to an end this year. But at the same time, I really am not very impressed with all the things they have done in the Lakers since LeBron has signed on. You know, you have all kinds of junk kind of players put together. Rondo, Stevenson, JaVale McGee. I mean, they could hit or miss. And you have some youngsters, Kuzma and people who can hit a few threes, but still not the right recipe for LeBron James. If you really ask me, if LeBron had joined the Rockets, I think it would be the ideal team for him to win a title. I mean, if LeBron to the Rockets, they would win the title because their game and everything revolves around the way LeBron likes to play. So, in a nutshell, I've gained respect for LeBron. And I feel this will be the first time in a long time he would not get to the finals. And there's also a remote chance he probably would not even make it to the playoffs. I know half of you guys think I'm crazy, but in reality, the West is West. There's several teams out there. But still, LeBron is LeBron. So yes, that's why I say he will probably make it to the playoffs, but it's not a guarantee, you know, if at all anything. That's the way I would put it. So gained a lot of respect, and let's see what happens. It's going to be very, very interesting what happens to the Lakers team between now and the trade deadline. A lot of things can happen, and it's going to be a very, very interesting season. So I can't wait. Well, that's all for now on LeBron James and what has happened in the offseason. Until next time, see you later. This is RZ from RZ Channel. Hello there, this is RZ with RZ Channel, talking about another very unique thing which has happened this offseason. Unique but yet surprising but yet not surprising. DeMarcus Cousins joins the Golden State Warriors. Oh my God. What a pathetic story. I mean, it kind of shocked you at the same time. You're like, are you kidding me? You know, of all people, DeMarcus Cousins joins the Warriors. They get rid of JaVale McGee and they replace him with DeMarcus Cousins. I don't care. He's had Achilles injury and all this yada, yada, yada. And he joins him for $5 million. I mean, $5.8 million to be exact. I mean, how low can these freaking people stoop down to? Absolute scumbags just because they feel they want to get a ring. That one way, it makes me really happy, though. One way, it tells me that any average, intelligent person out there can tell you that the value of the NBA championship ring while playing for the Warriors is pretty much as good as a cubic zirconia ring compared to a diamond ring. Freaking fake ring, that's what it is. I just don't get it. If they wanted, they can just pay all that money and get a ring made out. Why do they have to join a team and then do the formality of playing the game of basketball to get the stupid ring? I mean, you know, it just blows my mind. Absolutely. Him, pathetic. David West leaving $12 million on the table and joining for a veteran's minimum. Pathetic players. All these guys' rings, they're, I mean, just horrible, pathetic. They should not be even eligible to wear rings, you know. I mean, it is insane. But I know a lot of people have been upset, shocked, and just absolutely frustrated and nauseated, should I say, at that news. I was too, but when you really look at it, the interesting thing about basketball is you only have five players who can play at the same time, number one. Number two is when you look at Golden State Warriors, the core is Curry, Thompson, and Green. These are the core. Your additional losers who have come on board, Kevin Durant, David West, it's easy for them to join on and improve the team just because if one of those three are not really firing on all cylinders, then, KD can, you know, kick it to another gear. Bottom line is those three people are the backbone and they're always there as a support. So if KD has a bad game, the other two kick in. So bottom line is there's no pressure on KD to perform. Even if he misses, he knows he's going to give it to Curry or things like that. Like that, there's really no pressure for the other people to perform. These three people absolutely are, in my opinion, the backbone. Obviously, I have left out Iguodala, but Iguodala is also one of those key players. The Golden State Warriors, without Curry, Iguodala, Thompson, or Green, even without one of them, it's not going to function as well. So if you knock out one of those four people who have been the backbone, you would actually make a dent. That's kind of why just losing Iguodala, the Houston Rockets almost beat them last year. Once they got the Iguodala back, it's nothing, you know, and pretty much. But at the same time, playing against LeBron James, subpar team, it was a lot easier for them in the finals. So bottom line is, Warriors are defeatable. Yes, their team has become stronger on paper. But let me tell you something. Pelicans with Cousins, they were horrible. Once Cousins got injured, they played a whole lot better. Sometimes some people are just, although how good of on paper they are going to be like a cancer and they're just going to be like this obnoxious person no matter how good they are. One of them, Dwight Howard. No matter which team you put him on, they don't succeed. Number two, Carmelo Anthony. No matter which team you put him on, they don't succeed. No matter how good, or even if he scores 30 or 40 points in a game, they're still not going to succeed. Another player which comes to my mind who has the same kind of characteristics and luck is DeMarcus Cousins. So, yes, everybody is ranting and raving, oh my God, Cousins is there and he's a great player and everything. I don't think that was a wise decision by the Warriors. I might be wrong and he might prove me wrong because he is extremely talented. But I'm happy that they got him. In a nutshell, and I think having him there gives us a better chance of beating him. I'm beating the Warriors. So, bottom line is, as long as Curry, Thompson, and Green are there, they are the main backbone. All these other people are just worthless pieces of crap who should not be even known to be called as NBA players or for that matter, anybody who actually has any kind of a spine, you know, just they're just not even worth being called anybody anyway, not even given the respect of a human being, no absolute dignity or anything like that. Anyway, enough for me ranting and raving about this. So my opinion on Cousins, I'm not really worried about it. Actually, in my opinion, maybe the Warriors have gotten weaker. And but let's take it from there. Let's see what happens. So long for now. This is RZ from RZ Channel. Until my next episode, which is most likely going to be talking about Kawhi Leonard and Carmelo Anthony, one after another. Stay tuned. So long. Take care. It's RZ with RZ Channel, talking NBA basketball again. What we have not talked about is the so-called melodrama, the drama of Carmelo Anthony and Thunder basketball. Carmelo Anthony decided to opt in, which was no surprise, $27.9 million. Obviously, with all the signings Thunder have done so far, namely PG, Grant, Noel. Thunder organization has the record highest payroll currently, including luxury tax to be over $300 million. Nevertheless, if Thunder were to buy out Carmelo and spread out his $27.9 million or something like that over 3 to 5 years, the Thunder organization could save up to $100 million. So what does this tell you? This tells you one thing, is the fact that they will and they should buy out. Why else do we say that? When Russell had his summer hype party, Carmelo Anthony was not to be seen. I did not see Carmelo anywhere close to the party. Neither did we hear Carmelo congratulate PG. Neither did we hear Carmelo say anything on the social media. Carmelo Anthony is missing in action. Obviously, there must be a lot of hush-hush, and his agent and him will probably be deciding where is the best place for him to go and play. His time is running out. He cannot afford to sit out. And the Thunder organization was not going to have him start, and he does not want to come off the bench. Very, very difficult scenario. He's obviously, despite being a veteran, his IQ is so poor, he's functioning as a 13-year-old or a teenager. I mean, trying to say, no, I cannot come off the bench. You know, he's not the Melo he once was. Nevertheless, from the Thunder standpoint, I feel that he's played his last game in the Thunder uniform. I feel he'll probably get bought out. The reason is, even if he got traded and we got somebody else, we would still be supporting the tax, the luxury tax. So my guess is he's going to get bought out, and then he'll probably join one of the other teams, whoever would like to take him on board. Who knows? Maybe he'll join the Warriors as well. Who knows? Who knows? Anything can happen. So it's actually, if that's what happens, it's actually a major success for the Thunder organization. My goal before the offseason started, before PG signed and everything, I felt Presti's success would be measured or calibrated depending upon if he can get rid of Melo's contract. So that becomes the most paramount thing for the Thunder organization. And right now it's July 5th, past 11 p.m. After 12 midnight, all the deals can happen and the floodgates shall open, and you'll have more trades going forward. Exciting time in the NBA offseason. Let's see what happens. Melodrama should be underway shortly. So long, folks. Until next time, this is RZ from RZ Channel.